This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Conti joins us. Hello, Mike.
What up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I hope one day I'll be thought of as fondly as Beethoven, as people look back on the things I've contributed to pop culture.
I think they will.
Oh, yeah.
There was a very popular Gucci reference that you made in the in the post game. I was getting a lot of tweets about it, actually.
Really?
Yeah. People were like, Conti's on one.
No.
That's what they were saying.
Jason asked me at halftime, was there a song that I play to get myself motivated or fired up? And I said, yes, it's Wasted by Gucci Mane. I love that song. It's just got a very, very
That's
consistent.
Awesome. Never in a million years.
No, it's upbeat. It's very consistent.
Sure.
I love the song.
Listen to it quite a bit whilst getting wasted, in my 20s.
You got the rock star lifestyle, huh?
Rockstar lifestyle.
But there was a passage in that song, talking about sipping on purple, showing up stanky. And it was a game and a performance that was kind of reminiscent of like just being on purple drank and being a little smelly. But they didn't waste the opportunity to win the game. So that was the whole thing I was trying to refer back to, that passage from Gucci Mane. I mean, look, they didn't play that well again, but they found a way to win, which is really important. And I started to sense as that game was unfolding, especially in the first half when they were down 1-0 for quite a while, I think these guys are feeling a lot of pressure, a lot of self-applied pressure right now, especially playing at home. You want to entertain your fans. And you're thinking, boy, I mean, they've invested so much into this group, so much money. The resumes of all the players they brought in or brought back speak for themselves. Why is this not working?
Right.
Why isn't it working? And I think sometimes you can respond to pressure by pressing and trying to do too much, or you could maybe mentally shut down a little bit. I was afraid maybe we were seeing some signs of that on Saturday. Fortunately, they fought their way out of it. Let's hope this is a turning point. They can start putting together more complete performances and having fewer matches that are reminiscent of being on purple.
On purple, right? Yeah.
And when we talk about this team, it's always about, well, the offseason, the money, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Those guys aren't the problem. It's the people that aren't making the money.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they're all getting paid. They're all getting paid. But I think when we talk about this team, we talk about the Almirones and the Latte and guys like that.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit, because I see where you're going.
Right.
Latte Lyon has 5 goals.
Yep.
I mean, that's phenomenal in 6 games. I honestly think Miguel Almirón has struggled a little bit.
Okay.
I think, you've seen him now in a couple different spots, or maybe it's working out a little bit better with him playing centrally as opposed to on the wing. But then what does that do to Alexei Moranchuk? Well, when that's pushed him back into the midfield, that seems to work better for him, but then it makes you more vulnerable defensively. So, I get where you're going, because, the last 2 games they've scored 6 goals.
Right.
But prior to that, they got shut out by Red Bulls when they had the whole slam unit. They got shut out by Charlotte when they had the whole slam unit. On Saturday, your back line, which I thought had been okay up to this point, handed New York City 3 goals.
Yes.
Here you go.
Right.
We're going to give you 3 goals. And that's exactly what they did. So in the case of Saturday's game, Randy, I would agree with you. On the totality of the season,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think everyone has had moments where they've been really good, and everyone has had moments where you look like, ooh, what happened there? Even Latte Lana, who has 5 goals this year.
Should have like 10.
Well, the Moronchuk goal came because he had a poor touch, and it just bounced right to Moronchuk, who was able to run onto it and shoot it. So even Latte Lana has not been perfect this year. It just feels to me like a team that's still 7 matches into it is trying to find some chemistry, and it still hasn't all the way happened yet. It's getting closer, hopefully.
The thing that's hard to watch sometimes for me is, like what you talked about on Saturday, was just the mistakes at the back. Because obviously they were more egregious on Saturday than usual. But I would say, I don't know how many goals they've given up this year, but it feels like 75% of them have come off of just kind of normal stuff that wouldn't normally be a mistake, but was a mistake. Not crazy.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you.
Bad blunders. So I wonder, like, is that a function of guys, you know, being in out there that aren't expecting to be? Or, I mean, it's hard to say, like, how do you fix making mistakes? Because you just don't make mistakes. But it's weird that so many goals have come from that.
Yeah. On Saturday, you had a 17-year-old left back who found out, like, I think 5 minutes before the game he was going to play.
Right.
And actually played pretty well up until the point where he made a mistake to give up a goal. You almost are willing to live with that because, to your point, that's someone who you're not really expecting to be in that position. Some of the others, like the 2 goals they gave up in Charlotte, were off bad bounces on a weird playing surface. There have been other instances, like Miami's game-winning goal. You know, Miami is setting a diversion, trying to argue at the referee, and then they take a corner kick quickly, and you're not maybe switched on because you're paying attention to the argument. That's just a mental lapse. And then, look, players make mistakes. They make errors. Atlanta United won the game because New York City made a horrendous error. Their goalkeeper stayed frozen to his line. The defender tried to play the ball back to the goalkeeper. They were not in sync at all, and give Latte Lott credit for not giving up on the play. So I do think all of this will even out eventually. It's just, it's a new season. It's a new coach. Even if you're playing with a first-choice group, not everyone has played with each other for very long, and it's just, it's taking longer than I thought it would take to sort itself out. But again, what I'm hoping is maybe Saturday was the first step towards it really sorting itself out.
Why wasn't that an assist for BG?
The scorekeeper felt that the defender had a touch on the ball.
Okay.
Atlanta United put out another angle of that last night in those nonstop access videos that they do that showed there absolutely was no touch on the ball. Brad should get an assist for that. I hope they go back and change
that. Yeah, they got to retroactively change that.
Yeah,
right?
They have to. What they were saying was Thiago Martins, I guess, chested, or the scorekeeper thought that Thiago Martins chested the ball back towards the goalkeeper, had a touch on it. If he has a touch, it negates any pass.
Right.
The angle that was put out in that video last night showed no touch, so they need to fix that.
He should have chested it back to the keeper.
By the way, that would be assist for Brad in back-to-back years against New York City.
I was going to say,
how
many times has he done it before? So he has done it before.
That was the only other time, I believe, was last year up at the Met Stadium.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears, talk a little Hawks. They got the Blazers tonight. They've been playing pretty good of late. I mean, I know—
Portland?
Well, Portland, yes. Portland's been playing good for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
The Hawks have been playing pretty well. I think Risa Shea is playing the best he's played all season.
No doubt.
Is it just an opponent, or do you feel like they've kind of adjusted to the changes that have been made since the trade deadline and they're kind of settling into who the new group is?
It might be a little bit of both, but I think, again, like when you talk about Risa Shea, he's playing with a lot more confidence. And when you suddenly have another consistent 20-point per game player in your starting lineup, it's going to result in better outcomes for the team. Portland, this is a very interesting game tonight because I think on paper, this is one the Hawks need to be careful about. You know, there is still an outside chance, very outside chance, but still possible that the Hawks could get the 6th seed. And beating Milwaukee on Sunday night has put that into play. Because Milwaukee is 6th.
Yep.
The Hawks are 4 games back with 8 to play. Hawks had the tiebreak on Milwaukee.
And if you saw, which obviously you did, see the way Milwaukee played the other night.
They stunk.
That's a team that could lose 6 or 7 of their
Without Dame,
Dude,
they're in trouble.
They didn't look like they cared at all.
That's right.
That was crazy.
And I'll give you another thing to keep an eye on, too, if you're the Hawks. Watch out behind you for Chicago now, who has suddenly gotten very hot.
Good.
Now, you're running out of games. You only have 8 games to play, so I'm not sure you're really worried about getting caught by Chicago. But the Hawks could be anywhere from 6th to 9th right now. You really don't want to be 9th. So tonight is a game. If you look at the final 8 for the Hawks, they go 6-2. They're going to finish 42-40. I think there is a really good chance they could win 6 of their final 8 games. They play Philadelphia again. They play Brooklyn again. They play Orlando twice. They play Utah, who's having a terrible year.
Yes.
And you play Portland. And now this is one of the games that, I don't know, Simons is questionable tonight, and Scoot Henderson, I think, is out.
Didn't play against the Knicks the other night.
Yeah.
There's no reason they should lose it.
If the same lineup for Portland plays tonight that played Sunday in New York, the Hawks should not have an excuse to lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. You know, I think this has been the story about the Hawks this year. Against the top 6 teams in the East, they're 12-10. You take Detroit out of that mix, they're 11-7. Okay, that's really good. That's 11-7 against 1-4 and 6 in the East. Against the bottom 5 teams in the East, the Hawks are 12-9. Okay, now again, that's above 500. That's not terrible. But you look at the 2 losses to Washington and the losses you've had to Toronto and some of those others. And at the end of the year, that could be what ends up putting you in the play-in as opposed to the playoff, and you might end up really regretting it. I hope this game tonight is not a game that the Hawks will regret, because honestly, when they went on to this road trip and played Houston and Miami and Milwaukee, I thought that's a road trip the Hawks need to get 2 of 3. The Houston one I understand. The Miami one I don't understand. That was a really not great performance against a team that I don't think is trying very hard to win games right now.
Mike, you know the time. One, because we're about to talk in the next segment. The whole Kirk Cousins, they're down at the owners' meeting. Mm-hmm. They finally talk. Ra and Mr. Blank have talked about, obviously, the Kirk Cousins situation. How do you think it plays out?
Well, the rhetoric is not getting any friendlier now. I mean, right. Ra basically saying, I don't expect him to show up for anything voluntary with OTAs. I still stand by, I think Kirk is probably on this team at least in August. And then we'll see if anyone gets desperate and needs a quarterback. I mean, Arthur said it again today. Mm-hmm. They've already paid him. They're cool with him being the backup if that's the case. Falcons will probably let this go as long as they possibly can in hopes that maybe someone steps up and makes them an offer. I saw the report last week about a 3rd-rounder potentially being on the table. Wow. That would be very nice. I don't see that. So, barring anything that just develops out of thin air for some reason in the next couple weeks, there's really no need for anyone to offer the Falcons anything until maybe someone gets hurt in training camp or in the preseason and someone gets a little bit desperate.
Yeah, no, that kind of feels like the timeline. Unfortunately, those are non-voluntary.
That's correct.
Those are mandatory.
He will have to be there.
Then he would have to be there.
Yeah.
And
you can't be at Chipotle in Cleveland if he's supposed to be in Flowery Branch.
A little bit awkward, but I'm sure they'll be able to deal with it. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Mike.